Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. And a few ways that you can learn about how GPC is church together is to check out your bulletin. There is a calendar and list of announcements. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. And if for some reason no one's around you, there will be an elder standing at the communion table following worship this morning. Just a few announcements. A reminder that Tuesday begins all committee night. So we meet back here together on Tuesday at 7 p.m., If you have never participated in the work and mission of GPC through a committee, it's a great time to get started. There are newsletters out on the rack if you are looking for more information about what that entails, and don't hesitate to ask me. Another announcement I have this morning is our associate supply pastor, who you met very briefly 2 weeks ago via video, is moving here tomorrow, and she's looking for a few strong hands. Her and her husband Philip will arrive at 2 p.m. and it's a very small truck, so shouldn't take very long at all. The address is located on these bright green flyers. They are located at both doors and also posted on the bulletin board. So they plan to arrive at 2, and the address is on there. So if you're able to lend a hand, we'd love to have you. And Katie will join us for all committee night on Tuesday to stop in and say hello. And then she's going to worship with us next Sunday, and we'll begin her first day on September 8th. So it'll be a great day to ease her into life here at GPC. And again, if you're able to help her move in, that would be wonderful. It's the end of my announcements this morning. Friends, let us prepare our heads, our hearts, our entire selves to now worship God.
Please stand, if able, for the call to worship. In the stillness of the morning, in the hush and the pulse of all that surrounds us, we call confident you meet us here. We call knowing you calm us. We call trusting you will carry us.
Thank you. seated. As we come praising God, we also come recognizing our brokenness. Join with me in the prayer of confession printed in your bulletin. We are so skilled at being in control, at taking charge, Sabbath-taking God, that we are not very good at resting. We think we have to be constantly busy, so we have no time for you. We are trained to be extremely productive and so create our harried, stress-filled lives. Forgive us, shalom-giving God. Help us to let go of our distractions so you can act in us. Calm our creativity so you can recreate us. Help us to follow Jesus, not only into discipleship, but into our rest with you. It sounds so simple. We think it is too simple. But which is the burden you would choose? Hate or love, anger or forgiveness, pain or peace? God invites us to receive the gifts which make it possible to have lives of faithful obedience. This is the good news. God forgives us and takes our burdens from us. We would let go of them and welcome hope, joy, grace into our lives. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.
beautiful words and melody to be in our heart as we celebrate the sacrament of baptism this morning. And at this time, I invite Cecilia Elizabeth, daughter of Frank and Elizabeth in Cardona, to the font, along with Gordon Chapman, our elder this morning, who will be presenting Cecilia for baptism. Hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am always with you to the close of the age. Obeying the word of our Lord Jesus and confident in his promises, we baptize those whom God has called. In baptism, God claims us and seals us to show that we belong to God. God frees us from sin and death, uniting us with Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection. And by water and the Spirit, we are made members of the church, the body of Christ, and joined to Christ's ministry of love, peace, and justice. Let us all remember with joy this morning our own baptism as we celebrate this sacrament.
On behalf of the session, I present Cecilia Elizabeth, daughter of Frank and Elizabeth in Cardona, to receive the sacrament of baptism.
Frank and Elizabeth, do you desire for Cecilia to be baptized? And relying on God's grace, do you promise to live the Christian faith, to teach that faith to your daughter?
Do you, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, promise to guide and nurture Cecilia by word and deed, with love and prayer, encouraging her to know and follow Christ and to be a faithful member of his church? If so, please say, we do.
Frank and Elizabeth, in presenting Cecilia for baptism, you announce your faith in Jesus Christ and embrace the covenant God has established to give us new life. As God embraces you within the covenant, I ask you to reject sin and to profess your faith in Jesus Christ, to confess the faith of the church, the faith in which we baptize. Frank and Elizabeth, is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? And do you trust in him? And do you intend for Cecilia to be his disciple, to obey his word and show his love? Do you? Let us pray. God, our holy parent, we thank you for your faithfulness promised in this sacrament and for the hope we have in your Son Jesus. As we baptize with water, baptize us with the Holy Spirit, so that what we say may be your word and what we do may be your work. By your power, may we be made one with Christ our Lord in common faith and purpose. Eternal God, nourish and sustain all living things with the gift of water. Your Spirit hovers and moves, calling forth order and life. May all who splash in these waters experience new life through you. Amen. And what is your child's name? Hello, my little dear. Mama's right there. She's right there. Hi. Okay. Cecilia Elizabeth in Cardona. I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. This child of God is now received into the church. See what God's love has given us, a beautiful child of God. Let us pray.
Almighty God, you are the giver of life. You have called us by name, and you have promised to each one of us your faithful love. We pray for your daughter, Cecilia. Watch over her. Guide her as she grows in faith. Give her wisdom, understanding, love, and all your grace. And be with her parents. God, help them to show your love to her each and every day. Amen. Now let us stand and sing together from the green hymnal, Wonder of Wonders, as I walk around and introduce to Cecilia. You gonna go with me? Child that has danced to Wonder of Wonders as we walked around. Yes. And at this time, the children may come forward, and they can dance if they want to, too. Yes. Congratulations. And I'm also bringing my friend Frona up. I can't make any promises. She'll behave.
What do you think my story will be about? Do you have any idea? Come on. Oh, I don't believe it. Hugs. All right, Janice. Good thing I have one friend in the family here. This story is about how do you love and hug a porcupine. Did you ever hug a porcupine? No way. No way. They might hurt. This is a pain. I'll talk. Can you hug a horse? Of course you can hug a horse. Did any of you ever ride on a horse? Aha, we do have two over here. I bet you gave them a hug. Yep. A dog or a cat, that's so hard. If they'll stand still, they love to be hugged. Hugging bunnies is just divine. If they'll stay still, they love their hugs also. Cute little things. But how do you hug a porcupine? Anybody ever touch one at all? Never. All right. Can you hug some billy goats? I think so. Anybody ever hug a billy goat? Hey, just a horse. big fellow walking easy. My stomach's feeling kind of queasy. He wears a coat with shoulder quilled to hug this one who takes some skill. Look at that. What a kind of a ugly looking one, but that's not nice to say. See, I'm covering my face. A hedgehog is a little prickly, but you can hug his neck. He doesn't have sticky stuff up on top. It's so good to see all of you here on a holiday. A chimpanzee will hug your back. That's my kind. Do I bug some of you during the day on Sundays looking for hugs? Do I? No? I gotta do a better job. But how do you hug a porcupine? An elephant, please hug his trunk. He loves to be hugged that way. But not any place else. A kangaroo just hopped this way. Kind of hard to get a hold of that, too. No fun there either. A panda probably wouldn't mind. They take a little squeeze from all of us. You must go slowly, never hurry. Porcupines aren't soft and furry. No way. His quills defend him from the foes. But I'm his friend. He surely knows. We all love them. At last, hooray, it's finally time. This is how you hug a porcupine. Very carefully. That a good story? You better shake yes. Will you help me with a prayer? If I can think of one. Hey, God, isn't this awesome? Any help? Do you want me to just say it? Want me to do it? All right. God, we do bless these children. And I guess we'll have to give a little pat on the back for those great parents that get up and bring their children to church. We all have God in our hearts, but sometimes we just need a little extra. And I think we do get that from our church. Our pastor's not too bad either, so that helps. So be each and every child that starts school this week. They need your support. They need your love. And if they have God in their heart, things will go well. Thank you for joining me this morning. And God bless each and every one of us. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
The first reading of the word is from the book of Genesis. God saw everything that God had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that God had done, and God rested on the seventh day from all the work that God had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that God had done in creation.
And our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew. At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by the Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens,
and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Our scripture reading this morning from the gospel started with a word of gratitude. And I feel like that's a great place to begin this sermon as well. Thank you. Last week, I thought about what a blessing it was to be on vacation. A blessing because it was much needed and because I recognize that it's not something available to everyone. Some start a new job and wait over a year for time off, and if you work a minimum wage or temp job, vacation isn't even an option. And as a former parishioner of mine who works as a mechanic at a car dealership noted, the irony of having to work on Labor Day. I am deeply grateful to have had the opportunity to relax, rest, and renew in the Adirondacks, or at least as much as one can on vacation with children. But really, they were pretty great. And one of my favorite parts of the whole week was each morning. No alarm clock going off or list of tasks for the day going through my head before my feet even hit the floor. Instead, with a nice cup of coffee in hand, I sat with a blanket on my lap in a rocking chair and looked over the lake. I watched the loons search for breakfast. And on one such morning, my husband, Matt, came out to the porch and said, "You know, vacation is such a great reminder to do a little bit of this each week. To let go of telling ourselves we need to be doing something all the time." How right he is. Write that one down, honey. How right he is. On this traditional last weekend of summer, we continue our series from Barbara Brown Taylor's book, and this week the theme is appropriately and well-timed, all about Sabbath. Outside of religious circles, Sabbath seems like a foreign word. The world constantly demands busyness to prove our worth. Brown, in her chapter, writes that someone told her in China, the polite answer to "how are you" is, "I'm very, very busy, thank you." If you're busy, you must be fine. If you have more to do than you can do, and the list never gets done but only longer, then you must be very, very fine. Because not only in China, but also right here, successful people are very, very busy people. Successful companies are busy companies. Successful churches are busy churches. Or are they? Christopher Smith and John Pattison recently wrote one of the most reflective and practical books on answering this question with a definitive no that I have read in a very long time. The book is called Slow Church. Yes, you heard that correctly. Slow Church, Cultivating Community in the Patient Way of Jesus. And in their chapter about Sabbath, they dwell on the work of a German sociologist named Max Weber, who looked at the symbiotic relationship between modern capitalism and Protestantism, specifically the theological leanings of our great Presbyterian forefather in faith, John Calvin. We know all too well modern capitalism is focused on the pursuit of profit, more and more stuff. And Weber argued that the perceived virtue of profit-seeking could be traced in part back to the Calvinistic doctrine of double predestination. So I'm really pushing here on this Labor Day, getting you to think. Predestination, the belief that God has foreordained everything that will happen, including those who will be saved and those who won't. And the very early Puritans struggled with no longer having the Catholic consolations of the priest, the sacraments, and the church to assure their salvation. And so according to Weber, the Puritans began to look to worldly prosperity, hard work, frugality, and wealth through investment as a sign of God's love and favor toward them. And we can see how these values have taken root in Western culture. Over time, they've achieved relative autonomy from Calvinist theology, though we can see little glimpses of such theories of the Protestant work ethic in today's prosperity gospel, made famous primarily by televangelists who promise if you give money to their TV ministry, it'll increase your personal wealth. Hopefully most of us have found ways to say no to the ridiculousness of buying one's way into God's favor. But we haven't always been able to let go of believing that our self-worth, how good we are as people, is tied up in how busy we are. And so we just keep going until we're exhausted, running on fumes, stressed to the limit, on the edge of burnout, pick your phrase. As we hear Jesus' familiar words, enter our weary bones and heavy hearts. Come to me. Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden. And I will give you rest. This rest is more than sleep, though you may need some of that too. It's a rejuvenation, a restoration, a reconnection to our life force, to full aliveness. In the creation story, God worked 6 days and then rested on the seventh. If Sabbath is good enough for God, why do we think it is not good enough for us? Theologically, I may not adhere to the premise of the Protestant work ethic, but practically, I struggle with how tied up I am in proving what a good pastor, wife, mother, person I really am. And it's so easy to get caught up in thinking that it's all up to me to do the work, to create the structure, to have the pieces in place, the agenda's just right, the calendar accurate and color-coded, to have well-thought-out sermons, pastoral care attended to, dinner made, house cleaned, outfits set out for the next day, and permission slips signed, all important parts of my work. And yet Sabbath is the invitation. It calls to each of us to remember that it's not just up to me, that there's more. There is a Holy Spirit that can come flowing through in spite of our best laid plans or agendas. And sometimes it amazes me that the Holy Spirit even finds room into all that busyness. And Sabbath calls, invites each and every one of us to confront this delusion that we think it's all up to us. Sabbath calls us back to remember God, God's role and rhythm in life. Even God took a day apart. And Taylor reminds us that the first creation story says God called the other days good, but called the Sabbath holy, making it the first sacred thing in all creation. And Jesus didn't ignore the Sabbath either. He honored it and appreciated it, embraced it. He worshiped, he rested. He also withdrew into the wilderness on vacation, not just once during his ministry, but he modeled this rhythm for each of us. And Jesus demonstrated with his life that Sabbath is actually more than vacation or a time of doing absolutely nothing. It's a way of living deeply into the everyday. So what does this all mean? To be intentional about saying no in order to create Sabbath? Because when I ask myself this question, I remember God, and I also remember that God helps me to be a better pastor, partner, friend, and mom when I make that space for Sabbath time. And obviously, since the whole working on Sundays thing gets a little bit in the way, I find other times throughout the week to practice Sabbath. It usually starts in the mornings. Obviously, I don't have the lake and rocking chair as part of my everyday, but I do try to get up a little bit early, and I sit at the kitchen table with my second cup of coffee. And I consider that my Jesus time, to learn from him, to give him my burdens. I've said no to turning on the computer and checking emails and getting lost in endless Facebook feeds. And I go the old-fashioned route, an actual book, a devotional, a Bible. Sometimes I journal, yes, with pen in hand. And sometimes I just sit there and stare out the window at the birds on my bird feeders. And then when the kids join me for breakfast, I do my best to stay in the moment with them and listen about what's worrying them or they're excited about in their day, because it never lasts long before we're into the, do I have to tell you 273 times to brush your hair and your teeth? Where are your shoes? What about the backpack? Even just the little glimpse of Sabbath rhythm helps me start my day. And another way I practice Sabbath is on my days off. Friday generally means I'm not in the office, but it doesn't mean I'm not tempted to constantly check the email, start or finish a sermon, depends on the week, and clean the house frantically while the kids are at school. And it's that day I really have to force myself to remember how right my husband is. We need to let go of this feeling that we have to be doing something all the time. And so on good Sabbath days, I'll read a book, watch bad TV in my pajamas all day, or go for a run in the park. And another place where I appreciate the intentionality of Sabbath might actually sound a bit surprising. I experience Sabbath at the start of every session meeting here at GPC. As the ruling body of this church, we say no to jumping right into the agendas, and we start by centering ourselves in God's presence through prayer and scripture and reflection. We pray for and with one another, and we always ask the question, where are you experiencing God in your life and here at GPC? It's a reminder that we are gathered together as the people of God, not just bodies to carry out tasks, serve on committees, attend meetings. I need and appreciate that discipline of saying no to the lists and yes to the relationships. I believe that Sabbath is an attitude. It's a rhythm. It's a way of being and living. And it's about more than just vacation or getting away, doing or not doing, failing or succeeding. Sabbath is living, resting in God. Sabbath is saying yes to the rhythms of God's grace in each of our lives. Now and always. Thanks be to God. Be seated. And at this time, you are invited, if you feel called and moved, to share your prayers of joy and your prayers of concern this morning. If you would like to express them aloud, raise your hand and an usher will be there with a microphone.
Hi, Ron Steinmiller. I'd like to ask for prayers for my mom. She was just diagnosed last week with lung cancer. So we're kind of going through the options. It seems positive, but need prayers.
Prayers for your mom, Ron.
I'd just like to ask for prayers. Our son-in-law, Nelson, has already gone to Boston. And on Wednesday, Trina and Elena will be leaving and moving to Boston. And Irene's going to accompany them to make sure that they behave themselves. So prayers for them.
They didn't send you, did they?
I'm working.
Kathy Wakeman, I'd like to ask for prayers for my sister, Linda. Her husband, Richard, passed away suddenly on Thursday. He was fine on Wednesday, went to the hospital, had a stroke, had a seizure, and passed. So I would like to ask for prayers for strength for her and all of her children. Even though they were only married for 5 years, he was a father to all of her kids. Thanks.
Prayers for your brother.
I ask for prayers of
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. It's okay.
Prayers of comfort for my son-in-law, David Barrett, and his siblings on the passing of their mother on Thursday.
Prayers for the Barrett family. Please pray for my neighbor's son, Jamie, who is suffering from consequences from Crohn's. He's just having a really rough time right now. Prayers for a neighbor.
I'm Eric Vail. I have a joy. This coming Saturday, my youngest daughter, Ashley, and her partner, Katie Fuller, will be married in a civil ceremony in a beautiful outdoor setting. I ask that you pray and ask God to watch over them and bless their marriage. Thank you.
Amen.
And that's my granddaughter.
And yeah, ask Rona to behave herself.
That takes more than prayer. Any other prayers? And as I look around, I am seeing many parents who are sitting for the first time or yet again without a college-age student that they took either last weekend or the weekend before. So prayers for all the parents who said goodbye to college students. Welcome back to one. We're glad you're here. And also welcome to Lizzie Odom, who is with us all the way from South Carolina. She is starting as a freshman at RIT, and her parents are Presbyterian ministers. So I promised them we'd take good care of her. So welcome, Lizzie. Let us continue our time of prayer. God of the rough, worn hands, as we honor workers who labor this day, let us not forget those whose work is without honor, those homemakers who watch over children and homes but are not recognized as workers because they are not paid, for those who are forced out of jobs by corporate changes, those forced into early retirement, those who are denied employment because of their age, those who live far from home struggling to save a bit of money to send to their loved ones. Christ of the aching back, you worked the rough wood and you walked the long and dusty roads. You healed the sick and did the hard work of peace and justice. You continue to invite all those who are weary to rest in you. Spirit of creative power, give us fresh perspective on our labor, that our lives consist in more than earning and eating, in making and selling, in doing more and being busy. Renew and refresh us in your Sabbath rhythms of grace. And as school begins this week, be with our school teachers and children, our school boards and administration. Be with those starting at a new school or in a new class, no matter their age. Give them the confidence to make new friends and remind them to ask you for help. And even if we aren't in school this week, may we all remember to ask you for help in all the challenges in our lives and in this world. There is so much violence across the world and in our own neighborhoods. Oh God, bring peace and people who care and let love reign over hate. And this morning we also hold in prayer those who are mourning and grieving for the family of Jane Gracie who died this week. God, there are so many blessings poured out each day, and for these we give you all praise and thanksgiving. Hear us now as we pray the prayer Jesus taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us continue our celebration and thanksgiving by offering a portion of our blessings back to God.
Lord of love and mercy, we come to you this day at the unofficial end of the summer season. We should be relaxed, restored, but our spirits still carry stress and burdens. Thank you for giving us the gift of Sabbath. With all the good gifts you bless us with, may we use them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Friends, we go from this place sustained by the gift of Sabbath that God blesses each and every one of us with. So go, living into the rhythm of God's grace, the saving power of Jesus Christ, and the courage of the Holy Spirit to try again and again. Alleluia. Amen.